said, you have two choices. Pay me all that you owe me, or I will take your two boys to be my slaves. She was beside herself. She didn't even have enough food in the house, let alone money to pay a creditor. What would she do? She was so desperate that she even considered prostitution. But no, that was not the answer. She needed help. And you know what? She went to the right source. She went to the man of God. She went to God. There was a particular prophet, the man of God. This story is told in 2 Kings chapter 4. The story just mentioned in the song was of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. We're going to back up a chapter. Turn, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 4. The Bible tells us what she did. Now, Betty wasn't her name. We don't even know her name. And we don't know the other names either. But the rest of the story was indeed true. Just a little updating. We're going to read these seven verses that speak to this story of this widow woman. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets," these were sort of the men in Bible college, so to speak, "unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead." And she referred to him as her husband as Elisha's servant. He studied under him. He learned under him. He was a servant to God and a man of God. "And thou knowest that thy servant," that's her husband, "did fear the Lord." The man had a testimony. "And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be a bondman." Terrible distress. Verse 2. "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" And she said, "Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed, or it stopped pouring. Then she came and told the man of God and said, he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children on the rest." So there we have the original story, a true story. God took her husband. He was in the will of God. As far as we know, she was in the will of God. Sometimes there's suffering in the Christian life. Sometimes there's loss in the Christian life. And we see that here, to be sure. What did she do? You know, she thought about various things, no doubt, wouldn't we? Think about all the options and fearful of losing her sons. And it was a very real fear. Her sons could have been taken away into slavery to pay that debt that she owed. But she did go to the man of God. Now, the truth is, in going to the man of God, she was going to God. She was going to the great benefactor, the sustainer of life, the giver of life, the one who provides all things. And so she went through to the man of God. And we see that in verse 1, of course. "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha." She cried unto Elisha. She went to a godly person for advice. May we say, never go to the ungodly for advice. Look at Psalm 1. Here's great instruction. In Psalm 1, verse 1, this is how the Psalms start, with some of the greatest instruction. In verse 1 of Psalm 1, the Bible says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord." He goes to God for his counsel. He goes to the Word of God for wisdom. He doesn't go to the ungodly. And how many times will a born-again believer seek counsel from him, for her? Well, they're professional. They know this. They know that. Let me tell you something. They don't have the will of God in their minds and their hearts for you in your life, in their professionalism. And I'm not saying we don't need some professional help at certain times for certain things. But go to God first. Be in the book. Let the Holy Spirit of God take the Word of God and give you wisdom, direction. She went to the right source. It was the man of God. She didn't have the Word of God in a Bible like you and I have. They went through the man of God, the prophet, in that day. You don't go to the world for your counsel. How often that happens. And there's no God in there. There's no biblical wisdom, Holy Spirit direction. God has given us everything we need here. And maybe somebody, godly counsel to go along with, to guide through it. But let me tell you, the answers are here, not in the world. The world, the devil will give you all kinds of answers. And they're not usually good. Now, why was this lady in such debt? We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. It could have been poor money management. We don't know this. That can happen. Happens today. We haven't advanced too far from it, have we? If we want something, we just charge it. We live on plastic. Today, when we go to the store and we don't have the money, we just say, charge it. Amen? In fact, we don't even say it anymore. We just stick the card in. Everything's high tech. How's that? That'll work. I know how to do it. I just can't say it. What are you doing when you charge and use your cards? Well, you're getting a loan. You're becoming a slave to a debt. Isn't that right? When the bills come, we wonder why God has let us down, but he didn't let us down. That's played out countless times among Christians. Overburdened financially, but no heed had been given to the Word of God and application of biblical financial positions. God's told us how to handle money in the book. And if you follow these biblical principles, God can bless you. We're told to avoid debt. Romans 13:8, owe no man anything. We're to try to make do with what we have. Plan accordingly. So tempted and distracted with what the world offers and what others are getting and have, that we assume that the devil will tell us, you deserve that too. And so many people go out on financial limb. We have made MasterCard our master. We have made the Visa card our God, our gold, our platinum. We can't afford to pay our tithe, but we can pay 12, 18, 25% on our credit cards. Consider that. I'm speaking in general. Before me are some of the most faithful in their finances, brethren, I've ever seen. I have pastor friends. I know. Now, I'm not here to talk about credit cards and money particularly this morning. But do you think that God cares about people in debt or the poor? Yes, he does. Regardless how they got there. You may be here stressed out financially this morning. But again, this message is not limited to finances. It's about being in need, being stressed out, and where to go with it. Go to God. Go to Isaiah 25, and notice, if you would, verse 4. Isaiah 25, verse 4. God has a heart for the poor. Verse 4 says this, for thou hast been a strength. Now that thou, you can reference it back to verse 1. There's the context. O Lord, thou art my God. So say, my God, for thou hast been a strength to the poor. A strength to the needy. In his distress. A refuge from the storm. A shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, he has a love and a compassion for the down and outer. And we're to have a heart of compassion for those who are in great need. But maybe it's you. And again, don't limit this to just finances. There are those that are very spiritually poor. I think that would be the main thrust this morning. We don't have all that God wants for us. But we can tap into what God has ascribed for us to have. Look at Proverbs 19. Back up to Proverbs 19. And notice, if you would, verse 17. The Bible says, "He that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." I know there's always a tender verse for Pastor Ball. He'd mention it many, many times. And he was a great giver. And God blesses givers. But this intimates the heart of God. The God says here, I put you, you're in my debt. I mean, I'm in your debt if you give, you minister. And again, not just finances. To help, to counsel, to encourage, to give of self, to invest in others. That's the heart of God. And it should be demonstrated in your life and in mine. And God says, you have pity on the poor, I'll pay him again. And the returns from God are far greater than anywhere else. So giving and having a heart. God cares, and we should have the same heart that God is. We're to go to God when we're in that stressful situation. We're in the, when we are the person in need. And again, not just finances, but yes, you're in financial need. Go to God. Apply biblical principles on financial matters that we find in the Word of God, and go to God for counsel. Christians, pay your bills. Have a testimony. Have a financial testimony that's honoring to God. And if you ever need a loan, need to seek a loan, seek God first. The tendency is to fix it all ourselves. I'll fix this financial problem. I'll do this, I'll do that. I'll get another card. I'll fix this. Go to God before you make decisions financially. God will bless you. God will give you guidance. He has through his word, biblical principles. But again, the main thrust is not financial need and getting from God or from others. The point here is seeking God and his wisdom. The person who walks with God will be blessed of God. Elisha asks her what she's got. Notice verse 2 of the text. It says, "And Elisha said to her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? What have you got?" She may not even know what she had. She said, "I got nothing." She says, "I got nothing. Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." I got this little pot of oil. That's all that I've got. Let's consider first what Elisha didn't tell her. He didn't tell her to buy a lottery ticket. Can I tell you unequivocally, man, I got trouble with speech this morning. Gambling is wrong. Gambling is wrong. Generally, always creates more debt. Don't do it. Don't look for that lucky ticket. Don't put out money. Don't throw money away. You know, these casinos, yeah, I've seen pictures of them. I've not been in a casino. But they're elaborate. And I'm told that all the food is free. That could be very tempting. But they're elaborate. Where did they get the money to build with huge chandeliers and all the elaborate, illustrious things in those casinos? They got it from losers. Those that have lost, that have gambled, that thought they put money in. The Bible never tells you to throw your money away like that in gambling. Yes, not even buying a lottery ticket. I know of a pastor said that one of his people came to him and said, "I have great debt, but I bought a lottery ticket, and I'm asking you, pastor, to pray with me." You know, not God. Let's not go God's way. I'll try to fix this. And those that have that addiction, it becomes an addiction because of that first not trusting in God. Christians I'm talking about. There's some Christians that gamble, buy lottery tickets, always looking for that one. That's not the answer. He didn't tell her to do that. He didn't offer to pass the hat in the seminary, you know, the prophet school, where her husband was. Why? He obviously wanted her to have a part in her answered prayer. She must surrender all that she has into the hands of God, and then she will receive a blessing. And it may be few. It may be little. She didn't have much, and maybe that's how where the devil tries to nail us. You don't got it. You need more. You need to go outside. You need to finagle something. I can't do the will of God because I don't have that talent. I don't have those spiritual gifts. I don't have. I got nothing. Therefore, I cannot. God doesn't want us looking to the Joneses to meet our needs. We think if only I had their money or their assets. How often we miss God's answer to our needs because we don't ask the proper question. Elijah said, what do you have in your house that God can use? What is it that God has given you? Be it in the financial side or of the talents and spiritual gifts and whatnot that God has given you that can be used for the solution of this problem. Your resources, be it finances or talents, may be few, but God will bless and multiply them when they're applied to the problem. Don't wait for the welfare society to come. Look in your own house. Start with what you got. That's the biblical thing. And when it comes to spiritual things, start with the Bible. That's where the answers are to be found. Jesus used 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish to feed 5,000. Well, what do you got? Well, we really ain't got anything. We got a few loaves of bread here, a couple fish. It's not viewed by much. The devil doesn't want us to assume that we have anything we need. But God has given you what you need. And he'll provide, he'll multiply, if by faith we'll look to him for the solutions. He's given you talents. He's given you special gifts for the ministry, the plan he has for you in your life. And he's given you all that you need. And he'll take it and multiply it. As opposed to trying to find some other way. God knew what was in her house. And God knew that when she placed it all at his disposal, her debts would be paid in full. A solution. God has given to me everything that I need to be successful in this life, in every function, every facet of my life, and he's done the same for you. And the guidance of the wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God, be it finances or any other aspect of my life and your life. He is complete. He's all. There are no there's no gaps when it comes to God. So the starting point to problem solving is when you acknowledge that you possess something that God can work with, that he can use to solve your crisis. So we're by faith to believe God. And that's where many err. I'll fix this myself. Oh, amongst all kinds of worry and concern. And yet God is the source of the solution. And it may be with what he's already given you. Elijah tells her what to do in verses 3 and 4. Then he said, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. God will give guidance and direction if we seek it. He gave her direction through the man of God. He gives us direction, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We don't have the answers because we haven't sought them or we've not been patient for them. But God will provide all that we need. Look, if you would, at Proverbs 3. Familiar verses, beginning at verse 5, Proverbs 3, verse 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord. She did. With all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. It's a good thing she didn't, because she probably thought it was pretty absurd, gather a bunch of empty bottles. All I have is this little bit of oil. But lean not to thine own understanding. But I can fix this, Lord. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get another credit card. I'm going to the banker and I'm going to get a loan. Or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. I'm going to fix that. No, lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. God shall bless you when you seek God for his solutions and your problems. He expects, however, usually some labor. Elijah expected some labor out of her first. He said, go. Then he said, borrow. And he said, not a few. There's an expectation of busyness, of getting with it. And sometimes the struggles and the strifes that some Christians experience is because they're just plain lazy. Being industrious is part of being in the will of God. In Proverbs chapter 6, just a few chapters over, Proverbs 6, there's great instruction here, verses 6 to 11, regarding fighting off that laziness. He says, go to the ant. Imagine that, an insect being your instructor. Thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long will ye sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yea, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Work, work, work. Financially, oftentimes the solution is, at least for a temporary period, a second job. If it's got to be done, it's got to be done. It's not getting another loan. The hole gets deeper. But work. And the things of God, serving God, work is involved. And some are not willing to work, to labor for the Lord. Not willing to labor in the Word of God to find the answers, to find the direction. We're to go to the ant. The ant gives us great training. But notice, she was obedient to the man of God. Verse 5 tells us in 2 Kings 4 what she did. So, based upon all his instruction, so in your life and mine, based upon biblical instruction, we should obey. She did. She went from him and she shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. So she did what she was told to do. Obedience and diligence. Obedience and diligence. Obey in faith, and then be diligent in faith. The song was sung about Naaman. Diligent. He kept up. He didn't quit. Again, the seventh time he dipped, he was cleansed from his leprosy. We're to be diligent. That goes along with not being lazy. Being diligent, but being obedient to the Word of God. A lot of times the troubles that Christians experience are because they've said no to the will of God. They said no to what the Bible says. I got another plan. I've got another path. I'm choosing this. And there's countless stories in the Bible about those who made those choices and the consequences that they suffered. This lady must have been a good neighbor because apparently many complied with her request. Because she got a bunch of bottles, jars, and whatnot. And apparently times were tough all over because there seemed to be plenty of empty jars to be had. But she got them, they collected them, and the boys collected them. She filled the whole house with empty jars, jugs, bottles, and pots. She was told to. And she only got a little bit of oil. God will take care. Just be obedient to the Word of God. Yeah, but I've only got this or I only got that. I don't have this and I don't have that. Just be obedient to the Word of God. Word of God. Be diligent. Keep at it. Keep doing what God tells you to do. What if she doubted his command and collected just a few? What if she got lazy, got tired of collecting after the fifth or sixth door she knocked on? The abundance of God's blessing was based upon her faith and her obedience. She was as rich as her faith provided for. That is a biblical principle. If we'll believe God and be diligent and follow and keep at it and keep at it, whatever he's called us to do, then we can expect a harvest, a reaping. And this is evident even in our inviting to the Vacation Bible School. The more we put out, the more diligence we employ, the more we can expect return, God's hand of blessing. But it's going to take work. It's going to take time. But it's what we need to do for God's blessing. God wants to bless us as much as we make provision for. In our spiritual walk with Jesus, we need to expect an abundance. The Christian has so many, is so rich in spiritual blessings. And we don't tap half of it. I'm not talking about finances and filling your bank account, being wealthy. Now, we are richer than those outside of God. I don't care if they got millions or billions. Mary Melton went home to be with the Lord. Do you think her bank account mattered? We can't take anything with us. What we do in this life with what God has given to us, God can bless if we'll give it to Him. We may consider it little, but when God is in it and it's totally submitted, surrendered to God, God multiplies it. And He reaps great blessings out of our lives, and we get blessings in return. It's biblical truth. James 4:2 says, we have not because we ask not. We may seek solutions in our lives to all kinds of different problems everywhere else. And yet God says, ask me. Come to me. Walk with me. Talk with me. I'll guide you. I'll direct you. And I'll provide for you. I'll multiply what I've already given you. Isn't it interesting that Elisha tells her that upon collecting the vessels, she was to shut the door? I believe that more often than not, God's blessings and miracles are demonstrated in private. They're experienced personally and privately. Then we're expected to proclaim it publicly. Then tell everybody what God has done. Isn't that what happens at salvation and subsequently in baptism? The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's not a public thing to be saved. It is a personal thing. If one makes a public profession just to be seen of men, he's no more saved than a dog. It's not saying a prayer or some public event. It's a personal and private thing that happens between a man or a woman and her God. And she experiences and applies the blood of Christ to her sins and are forgiven and are born into the family of God. It is a personal thing. But baptism is to follow, first step of obedience. It's that public expression of the inward change. It's identifying with Christ. It is death, burial, and resurrection in picture form. It's public after something happened private. God's blessings can come that way. So often they do. So she did exactly what she was told. And what happened? Well, she struck oil. The results were that she discovered oil 6 and 7 of our text, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. We're out. We used them all. And the oil stayed. Again, what if she had another 100 jars? According to your faith, according to our faith, are we blessed? And again, do not limit it to the financial picture. According to our faith in God, what He can do with us. We so often are the ones that limit God to what He can do or would like to do. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. God is faithful, God is dependable, and God is good, and He wants to bless His children. And He wanted to bless her. He blessed her beyond her immediate physical need. We can only imagine the inner joy and strength she received from God's answer to her prayer. Can you imagine how overwhelmed she was? And not only was her debt paid and the boys were securely there in the home, but she had enough to live on afterwards. He does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You cannot out-tap God's resources. And this promise is to us as well. He'll bless us if we, by faith, live with Him and in His Word. Go to Ephesians chapter 3 and look at these verses here. They speak of the same thing, the same story, so to speak, applied in your life and mine, covering all aspects of our life. Verse 14, for this cause, Paul says to these believers in Ephesus, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We're all a family. that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Untapped most of the time. To be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. You see, we're talking about the blessings of God deep inside the heart and life of the believer who will walk with his God, who will believe his God. They read their Bible differently. They pray differently. They're walking with God. There's something with God in the inner man. By his spirit in the inner man, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend or grasp with all saints, what is that breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth under knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What is the will of God for you? The blessings of God, the power of God, all on your life. If you and I will submit to his plan for our lives and walk with him and put selfishness aside, distractions aside, and live for him, tap into all that he has for us and all that he wants to accomplish through us. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Here is a beautiful picture. It's not limited to finances, though it's included. It's the life that God wants for you and I. And that he can go above and beyond what you are, our wildest dreams in this life. We talk about 2 Corinthians 5:9 when it says, thank you. I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. God is telling us there that heaven will blow you away. It's nothing you can even dream up. You've never seen anything like it. You've never heard anything like it. Well, there's some things in this life that we miss out on because we don't experience or we don't do what God wants us to do. Obedience and diligence and walking with him and praying with that faith where God can do far more than we even dream of. We ought to approach Vacation Bible School that way. In our prayers and in our walk. Obedience and prayer. Obedience and faith that he will multiply whatever effort we put into to fill that place and then for it to have its effects, its grand effects. And he'll blow us away. Unto him be glory in the church. Well, that should always be the case. Christian, is God your daily guide? Is he the source of all your needs? Or you're trying to find peace, joy, finance, whatever it is, elsewhere? Do you look to him with dependence as your heavenly father? Where do you get your counsel? Are you in the Word of God? Your faith, do you believe that he exists and that he cares? And that he wants to bless you? Do you demonstrate that by your reading and your meditating in the Word of God? That reality is demonstrated in our daily walk. Maybe it hasn't been. Maybe we've not allowed that God has more for us and has bigger and better plans for you in your life and accomplishing something through your life than you and I could ever dream up. And then, friend, perhaps you're here today, you're not saved. You cannot with full assurance say, I know I'm going to heaven. Like the widow who had nothing and was without help, you need God to save you. You're without help, hope. Satan is the ultimate creditor. He wants to claim each of us as his slave. We all owe a debt that we cannot pay. But Jesus paid the debt in full. And as with the widow, he goes above and beyond. He not only pays our debt in full, but he brings us into the very family of God. Friend, trust Christ today as your Savior. Christian, look to him for the answers to every situation in your life. Give him your life, full and free. Let's bow our heads. heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Here we have a story of a lady who basically was without hope, so distraught, so in need, so worried, and her worries were real, a very real event in her life. Yes, God is the one who took her husband. God allowed that to occur, brought him home. But he had purpose for her in her life. And she was so wise because she sought God through the man of God. She went to the right place for counsel. Do we actually put the time in to not just read our Bible verses that for the day, but do we truly seek God as we read our Bibles? Do we seek him to give us direction for his will for the day? Do we seek his guidance and direction for the solution of the problems we encounter, be it finances or relationships? Walking with God each day, he has all the answers. He has all the provisions. And he's promised to take care of us. He shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. It's just that we've untapped him so far, but we need to, particularly in the spiritual realm. This lady did that which was right. She went to God, she found his will, his direction, and then she obeyed. And maybe that's where part of our problem is. We may know what God says is right or wrong, but we still choose our way. May this morning we make new resolve, be it to spend that time, that proper time, walking hand in hand with God in his word for direction, for guidance, or for throughout the day, tapping into the Holy Spirit, power and guidance, that we might be successful in his sight, used for his purposes and not limited to ours. And friend, if you need to be saved this morning, you need to call upon Jesus. Tell him you're a sinner and you admit it, you know it, you acknowledge it, and that you believe the Bible is true and it says that the wages of sin is death, and that refers to eternity in hell. But he also promises that he loves you and will give you heaven. He'll forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. Would you ask him this morning?